Open your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I'll get the whithersoever. I want to talk about this just a little bit. I want you to notice here that God's given Joshua. He's going to be the new leader of the people. Moses has died now, and Joshua is going to be the one that leads them into the promised land. But I want you to see what God does here. God says to Joshua, he says, "As I was with Moses, I'm with you." Here's what you got to understand, that God lives on the inside of you, so he's always with you. And he's telling Joshua, he says, "I'm going to be with you, and I'll be with you just like I was with Moses." Now, the next thing that comes up on the thing here is he says this to him. He says, "You need to make sure that you're meditating on the Word. Stay in the Word. Make sure that you're keeping the Word before you meditate in it day and night." Now, I want to show you something. Joshua is being a leader of the people. So you could kind of say it like this. He's the leader of the church now. And so far he's told him, "I'll be with you." And then he's told him, "Make sure that you stay in the Word, meditating in the Word. Stay with my Word." And then the next thing he tells him, he says, "Don't be afraid or dismayed." The word "dismayed" here means to break down by fear or violence or something coming against you. So here God is telling Joshua, he's saying, "Joshua, you're going to take this people, you're going to take them into the promised land I told Moses I would give to them, and you're going to help them divide their inheritance up." And he said, "But on the way, you've got to make sure that you understand I'm with you in this thing." If you read the book of Joshua, it's amazing the armies that they brought down. As you read it, you find out that even kings got together and brought their kingdoms together, their armies together. But they were no match for Joshua and the children of Israel because God was with them. The only time they had a problem was when they first took down Jericho. When the first city they came to, God said, "Listen, when you go around that thing, you march around that thing, when you shout and those walls fall, you go in and you destroy everything, but all the spoil belongs to me." See, because Jericho was going to be the very first city as they went on taking cities. The first part always belongs to the Lord. The first always brings, it belongs to the Lord. So he told him, he said, "Don't you take any silver. You bring that back in. You put that in my treasury. Everything that you spoil comes into the house of God." Amen. See, folks don't like that. But that's exactly what he told Joshua on the tithe there. That's what you do. Now, there was a gentleman by the name of Achan, who when they went in there, he saw silver, he saw gold, he saw a beautiful Babylonian garment, and he decided he would take those. And so he took them, and as they're moving forward, they're going up against a small kingdom now. It's called Ai, and they don't say, Joshua says, we don't need everybody to go up. They're just small. We just so much. So he counted and sent up men, and when they went up there, they got whipped. About 36 of them died. And so they come back and they're all just, they don't know what to do. You know, Joshua's just, he tore all the pieces. He's on his face before the throne of God, asking what's going on, Lord, what's, and God just tells, he says, get up. Get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Somebody has sinned and taken the cursed thing. And of course, they study the thing out and they start talking, questioning everybody, and it falls on Achan. And find out, Achan then finally admits to it. He had it buried in his tent, the silver, the gold, the garment. It was all in his tent. When they found it, they brought him out and they stoned him and his family to death and then burned him. Now, that's pretty rough, but here's the thing, you see. And he told Joshua, God told Joshua, he said, you can't go forward anymore until you deal with this. So see, what that's telling you and I is this, you know, as we're serving God, we're in the Word and understanding that God's with us, we also have to understand we have to stay away from sin. If we want to move forward, then we can't get caught up in the world's things. Amen. Now, here's the thing about it. After the first city, you find out every city they spoiled after that, God said, have at it. You have everything in it. Get it all. It's all yours. You just take it. Make sure you kill everybody, but you get everything else. And they could keep the cattle. They could keep it all, but just not what belonged to God. And a lot of folks want to keep what belongs to God and wonder why things are not going good in their life. Amen. The first belongs to God. So here we have Joshua leading the people and God telling him, don't you get dismayed, don't you be afraid. They came up against some places that it should have been, they should have gotten whipped. They were outnumbered a lot of times. But God said, I'm with you. God would always come back to Joshua and say, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, I'm with you. So I want you to understand that God is with you because He's living on the inside of you. So no matter what it is you're going up to face, you're a child of God. Amen. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So this is Joshua, really. Can I say it like this? Can I put this into today's? This is Joshua leading the church, leading the people of God. So Joshua's dealing with people, the people of God, as he goes forward. And God tells him, said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now, there's another scripture I want to bring out here. That God said do, and that's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Go over there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. This is Jeremiah's call to be a prophet. This is his call to go out and be what God's called him to be. And in verse 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Can I just stop right there? Before you ever came out of the womb, I sanctified you, which means to be set apart, and I called you a prophet while you were still in the womb. Now see, here's what I want to bring out of this. There are folks out there saying that that's not a life. They want to abort that unborn baby, saying it's not really a person. And here's God telling Jeremiah, I formed you in the belly of the womb, sanctified, and called you a prophet before you were ever born to this world. Can I tell you something? God knew every one of us before we were born into this world. I really believe that. I believe that we had a call, we had a destiny on our life, we had a purpose for our lives before we were ever born. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So here he's telling Jeremiah this. He's saying, you know, I've ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that or thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, church, I want you to get a hold of some things here. Notice this. The Lord tells him what he's called him to do, that he's ordained him already to be a prophet. And the first thing that comes out of Jeremiah's mouth, he said, I'm just a child. I don't have any words to say. And the Lord immediately says this, Don't say that. Here's where we lose a lot of our battles, church. We're saying what we feel or what we think about ourselves, and that's not what God says or thinks about us. Jeremiah was saying how he felt, you know, and I can relate. I can imagine, you know, Jeremiah, you know, when I was called to preach, I was just like, who am I to, you know? But you've got to understand that if God called you and destined you to something, then you're the person that's got to carry that out. Now, God can get things done through other people, but you'll miss out on what He's got for your life. He told Jeremiah, don't you be speaking out of your mouth that you're a child and you can't talk. No, you're going to say what I say. Isn't that what he told him? He said, you're going to speak the words I command you to speak. See, we've been taught to say all kinds of negative stuff because the world is always negative, but we're supposed to be saying what God says, and what God says is what the Word says. It don't matter what people think. It don't matter what the situation looks like. What's the Word say? Because we're supposed to be speaking out the Word instead of speaking out what the world says. You know, folks are all the time talking about dying and that kind of thing. You know, we ought to be speaking, I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. But people don't want to speak out that because that sounds too... which is worse than that? Then somebody saying, well, you know, I'm a dead man. Or I'm dying of this. Or I'm dying... No. Right? I'm going to live and not die. Amen. Come on, somebody say that. Say, I'm going to live and not die. You see, we ought to say that around people out there. When they're talking negative and they're talking doubt and unbelief and they're talking how things, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Just say, I'm going to live and not die.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's what God expects us to speak. Then he goes on with Jeremiah, and he tells Jeremiah, he says, listen, don't be afraid of their faces. Do you understand that when you start fulfilling your purpose in God's kingdom, that people are going to look at you funny? Amen. They don't like it when you start talking about how God's blessing you. Amen. They don't like it when you tell them, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. It messes with them. They don't like it when you say, listen, I'm God's prosperity. God's making me to prosper. I'm not going under. I'm above only and not beneath. Come on, you're speaking out what God says about you from the Word, but people are going to look at you funny when you talk that way. Amen. Why? Because, see, they've not been taught the Word or the words of God. They've been taught religion, and religion says we're all just slugs that drag along the ground. We're not worthy of anything. And you know, we just got to hold out to the end until maybe Jesus will come and rescue us. See, that's what religion says. When you talk about, you know, who you are in Christ, no, you know, humility is just you dragging along, you know, not... Listen, we understand pride is not a good thing, but listen, you got to understand who you are. It's one thing to have pride in your life, but it's another thing to have integrity and understand what the Word says about who you are. There are folks that don't even know God got a lot of pride in their life. Come on, they take pride in their money. They take pride in their family name. They take pride in this and whatever. See, that's all worldly pride. But when you understand who you are in God, that's another story. Because you're only now acting on what God says you are. Amen. You understand that without Him you're nothing, but you also understand with Him you're everything. You're king and a priest, a son and a daughter, anointed of God. You believe when you lay hands on somebody and pray for them, they're going to get healed. Amen. Well, that's pretty arrogant of you to think you can lay hands on somebody. Well, that's what the Word told me I could do. Right? And if you'd believe the Word, you could do the same thing. God's not a respecter of person. These signs will follow them that believe. If you'll believe, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? So see, when he tells him, he says, don't look at their faces, then he's trying to tell Jeremiah, you're going and saying the words I'm telling you to say, and no matter how they react to it, it's still the word that I told you to say to them. And they've got a choice. They can either respond to the word that I give them, or they can reject that word. A lot of them rejected it. Remember, Jeremiah is the one who said, I'm just not going to preach anymore. And then he said, I couldn't keep my mouth shut because it was like a fire caught up in my bones. You see, so we have to understand that God has a fire in our bones. And He's given us His Word to speak out. And we ought not be afraid of people's faces, but just stand up and say what the Word of God says. He says, be strong and be courageous. That takes a lot of courage to stand up because a lot of times you're the minority. Everybody else is ganging up on you. But you know what? God's Word is still true and it's what will prevail. Let them think what they want to think. They can even think they want an argument. But if you told them what the Word of God says, you won and the devil knows it. Amen. And see, that's one of the wonderful things. And so there's a difference here, though. Here's some things that I want to show you. With Joshua, he's going out and he's speaking to the people, the church, and bringing them into a place of deliverance. But Jeremiah's call was different. Jeremiah's call was to the world. To go out to the sinners, go out to the kings, go out to the places and declare to them, thus saith the Lord. So in either case, the same thing happened though. He said, don't be afraid and understand that I'm with you. And see, that's where we're at. We've got to be that way. Matter of fact, let me show you here in chapter 28 of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, we'll just pick it up there. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All right, so the Lord's saying, everything belongs to me. All the power belongs to me. And then he says, go ye therefore. When he said, go ye therefore, what he was telling them is, I've been given all power. Now I'm going to delegate you with that power to go forth. You've been given the power to go forth. Go ye therefore, what's he say? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What did he just say to them? Same thing that he said to Joshua and Jeremiah, he said to us. I'm with you, I'm giving you the power to go ahead and do it and tell them what I've told you. Speak what I've been speaking. And see, that's where the church is messing up. We're speaking what the world thinks. We're speaking what the world's saying. We're talking after the world and they're saying this and they're saying that. And the church is so wrapped up in the world that they're taking what the world says for truth. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been being lied to for a long time. If anything's been proven, it's the fact that the government can manipulate the news sources to turn any kind of situation into whatever they want it to be. And over the years, and I'm not just talking recently, but just for a long time now, that's been happening, and we believe what they've said, and a lot of it's been just lies. And so, see, that's why when you and I speak, we need to be making sure we're speaking truth to people. They need to be set free. Christians need to be set free. There are people going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, some of them Sunday night too, and they're never going to get past where they're at because they're not getting the truth preached to them past a certain level. And we're supposed to be preaching the whole counsel of God, not just part of the Word of God. We're supposed to be teaching what God said to do, observing them to do all that I've commanded. See, we should be teaching everything that the Lord Jesus did, because Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. Why would he mean? Well, he meant, when I go back to the Father, I'm sending the Holy Ghost down. Holy Ghost is going to come, and when you believe on me, he's going to come into you. Then you can get filled with the Holy Ghost, and now you're empowered just like I was empowered to do what I did, except the difference is there's not just one of me, but there's all of me now, because you're all my body. And every one of you are working in different areas and different... Jesus could only be in one place at one time. We can be all over the place. The body of Christ can be all over the world doing what the Lord Jesus did, because He's anointed us to do that. Now, that's the Great Commission with us. Okay? We are been delegated power. He says, teach my words and that I'm always with you. Now, if we're applying what He said to do with Joshua and Jeremiah, we can understand that we're not to be afraid. We're not to be able to look at their faces. And here's the thing. As we go about to minister, we're going to see things, and we're going to see people that it seems like they don't want anything to do with what's right. Anybody noticing that kind of thing? It seems like a lot of people don't want anything to do with God. And it's not just in the world. There's people that call themselves Christians that don't seem to want anything to do with God. They call themselves Christians, but you never see them worshiping God. You never see them coming to the house of God. I liked the little thing that I saw on Facebook. I thought it was pretty cool. It said, so you want to live in God's mansion, but you won't even come to His house. You know, and we laugh about that. It's a little joke, but it's a sad irony of the way the church is. They think they don't got to come and worship Him, but they're ready to go to His mansion and live with Him forever in eternity. See, they don't know the Word. They don't know what the Word says, or they ignore what the Word says and choose to do their own thing. Now, I want to read something, because we can see it, that it would be easy. And that, I really believe that's why God told Jeremiah and Joshua both not to be discouraged, because you can see things. We were talking, I guess that was yesterday, Brother D and I and Charles, and we up here and they were getting ready to mow and stuff. We were just talking a little bit, and one of the things we talked about, the fact that you see so many things that you know you're living right, you know you're doing right, and you're a tither, you're a giver, but you look and you see these other people, and it just looks like everything just gold for them. I was telling them about some papers I found. Actually, it was the receipt for prescriptions. And you know how they staple the little prescription receipts on the bag. You know, it tells what the medicine is and the cost of the medicine, that kind. Found some of those. And I was just looking in, and you know, one of them was for drugs, for, I don't even know the names of all of them, maybe sub something supposed to help you get off of the drug. It's the strip type things that they put under their tongue that, you know, it's just another drug that's a little lesser than the drugs they're on. But I found this thing, and that's, you know, druggies don't know what they're doing, so they just leave stuff laying around. And I found these things, you know, and I got to looking on it, and of course one of them was for those strips, and a couple other things was on there. But you know, the thing that I guess, you know what, yeeked me the most is when I looked over what they paid for their medicines, zeros. Zeros. And then they turned around, of course, and sold them to an addict, and they paid zero for it. Because if they don't want to work and don't want to do nothing, they'll get free medicines and health insurance and all that. And so we were talking about that, and the fact that, you know, illegals are coming into our country by the thousands, and they're giving them money, and they're giving them free health care, and giving them places to stay and stuff. And, you know, and you look at that, and then you scratch your head and say, well, you know, my insurance costs $3,100 a month, and they're getting it free. Something not right there. I've been a citizen of this country since I came into this country. Right? I've been living here and working, paying my taxes and helping to take care of my part of the country since I've been living. I started working when I was little, I started working, but I started earning money that was taxed when I was 15. Been working ever since. And they don't strike a lick at anything and get it. How many knows that can be discouraging? Right? I mean, you can really flat out get aggravated about that. You know? And you start looking at those kind of things, and it's easy to get discouraged. So I really believe, you know, God's saying, you know, when you see things going on here, Joshua, don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. When people's upset, don't get, and the same thing with Jeremiah. He said, they just said, just keep on speaking what I'm speaking, and that's exactly what we do. But I want to show you here in Psalm 73, because we mentioned it. As we were talking, I mentioned it, but I want to give it to you, and I'm going to read the whole psalm in the New Living Testament, and I've read it before, but I just want to remind you, because we need a constant reminder of who we really are, because we're looking out and we're seeing all this stuff go on, and it just looks like that there is no end to it. It looks like they're getting away with everything, but can I tell you they're not? Because God sees and knows everything that's going on, even behind closed doors, even in secret. Okay? In Psalm 73, says the Psalm of Asaph, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper, despite their wickedness. Anybody ever been there? Let's just be honest. You see these folks out here and it looks like that they have the Midas touch. They're heathens and everything they touch makes money just comes in everywhere. You might as well be honest about it. We look at that and we see that. He says, I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. Can I just stop a minute? One of the things that yicks me is all these beautiful ladies that are married and trying to have kids and wanting to have a family. And it seems like they can't have a kid. And the drug addicts, they're having to take the kids away from them because they're popping them out left and right because they're getting a check for every kid they have. It's not that they want to take care of them. It's just more money to buy more drugs with. My soapbox, sorry. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I don't tithe and I'm doing pretty good? Right? Come on, that's what they want to say about you. And look at me, I'm doing pretty good. I'm making plenty of money. I'm prospering pretty good. I'm doing all right. I don't tithe. I don't give nothing. Right? That's pride, right? They wear pride like a jeweled necklace, clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long, and every morning brings me pain. If I'd really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and sent them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed completely, swept away by terrors. When you rise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideals as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Isn't that something? He was able to look and see once he got in the presence of God, once he got in the sanctuary, once he got out of the world. See, you're in the world and you see all this. And I'll just be honest with you. This sounds like me talking sometime. I tell off on me. That I've been there plenty of times looking and seeing and wondering about things and wondering, And God doesn't mind when you ask him why, as long as you're honest in your heart. But I was kind of like that guy. I had some bitterness about this thing. Amen. When you go to pay your electric bill and somebody else's electric bill's got a credit on it and they don't work and they don't do nothing. So you're looking at me funny again. I want people blessed, but it's one thing to bless and it's one thing to support a bad habit. Right? It's true. Let's get past that. But I've been there. I know what that's like. But I love the fact, he said, but when I just came into your sanctuary, then all of a sudden I realized, I'm saved, they're not. I'm going to heaven, they're not. And everything that they have is not worth going to hell for. And that even though I've been messed up here a little bit, God, I'm still yours. You're still taking care of me and you're still watching over me. So I'm just going to be glad and worship you no matter what's going on in the world. You see, we shouldn't get discouraged. Sometimes it's hard, but we shouldn't, because we know the greater one's living in us. And God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never let you down. He'll always take care of us. And we can't ever forget that no matter what we're going through. We're tithers and givers. God's bound to His Word. He's not going to let us fall. Amen. Matter of fact, is it not Psalm 91 where it says when the enemy comes like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him? And so, see, God's there. He's got us. He's got our back. He's watching over us and taking care of us. So we don't need to get discouraged. We need to just keep right on pressing in for the Lord and being everything God says we can be. And also this, folks, we need to make sure that we don't get weary in doing that. Let me show you over here in the book, in the Bible, and in Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this. We'll close with this. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice that. Only what you sow you're going to reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, we can't get weary about it. We've got to keep on track with God's Word. God sees our faithfulness. You know what? He'll reward us accordingly, because that's just the kind of God He is. He's a God that keeps His Word and makes sure that it's brought to pass. He watches over His Word to hasten it in our lives. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Don't be discouraged. Just keep on track. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You now.